down. Was the turning point when I decided I wanted a child? Was it all my fault? John found a job at the Irish Times, working evening shifts and weekends. Anything to get started. Meanwhile, I was employed at Declan Connolly PR, a small but exclusive company which gave me great experience, but also required huge personal commitment and enthusiasm, both of which ran out when I decided I wanted a baby. Suddenly, I was fixed with a desire stronger than anything I had ever felt for anything or anyone. My job, which I had once loved, was now far less important than my as yet unfertilized, unrealized child. The BlackBerry and briefcase were never going to compete with my baby. But getting pregnant didn't happen the first year, or the second. By the third, I'd become rather desperate, and by the fourth, more than slightly crazed. And so our IVF years began. John, being John, was as kind and supportive as he possibly could be. I had gone ahead with it, without really consulting him, and each time he dutifully turned up at the clinic before racing back to file his copy. But even I was slightly scared of the person I was rapidly metamorphosing into, someone single-mindedly determined, ruthless even, all softness replaced by steel. But a baby wasn't just going to magically appear. Someone had to make it happen, and that someone was me. At work, I managed to hide my IVF struggle from Deco, my manager, and everyone else, fooling them all into thinking that all I cared about was work. I remember one particular meeting with some potential clients, a startup for a new cycling taxi service. Slower than walking, as it turned out, which was not, I realised, the point. They had a large budget, and I was to pitch for the ad campaign, the whole branding of the service. Fueled by fertility drugs and ginger nuts crammed into my mouth moments before entering the room, I was ready for them. The presentation was like an out-of-body experience. I felt invincible, suddenly imbued with an energy and a conviction that I knew it all. I was the answer to their prayers. Even Deco noticed. "Joanna," he said, "you were amazing in there." He grinned at me. "What are you on? Because whatever it is, I want some." "Clomid," I said, but he didn't really know what that was and just laughed and slapped me on the back. "You're on fire," he said. "Come on, I'll buy you lunch." And I went because, A, I like Deco, and B, I couldn't think of an excuse when really I was feeling so incredibly nauseous that I thought I'd throw up. Watching Deco tuck into his rare steak and posh chips, I strained every fibre of my being to ensure I didn't vomit into his miniature jug of Bernaise. And we won the contract. Another gust for my Clomid-blown sails. Nicole, my best friend, was the only person who knew I had ovulation and pregnancy tests in my handbag. The only one who knew the whole truth about my increasing hysteria. 3 failed attempts over 5 years. And then, God, Allah, Daniel O'Donnell, delete as applicable, be praised. Because on my 4th round, just when I was emotionally scraping myself off the ground and trying to imagine a child-free life, I took 1 more test. Nicole had called round to see me after work. "I think," she said, peering at the stick. "I think." She stopped and spread out the leaflet from the box, examining the diagrams. "I think," she said, laughing now. "I think you might be pregnant." We danced around and around the room, both of us crying. "Is this really happening, Nick?" I said, not daring to believe it. "I think so," said Nicole, grinning at me. "You better start taking it easy. Crack open the dairy milk and take root on the sofa." "It's too much to take in." Nicole shrugged. "You'll be fine. You always cope. You'll be amazing." She always had so much faith in me. I wish I'd been able to live up to it. But now, the stuffing had been well and truly knocked out of me. Where is that woman, that other Joe? Nowhere, that's where. No wonder John eventually had enough of me. Chapter 1. Our marriage had screeched to a halt a long time ago, but it was John who finally called time. I'd stopped bothering with him, focusing entirely on our 3-year-old Harry, but still sometimes, ever so rarely, but sometimes...